Yeah, he's Mr. Funky. He's Mr. Funky Teacher. Mr. Funky Teacher inspires greatness. Makes you feel good like your favorite playlist. Keeping that fresh and funky, yes he does. He got some funky cool ideas to share for all you teachers. He can empower others, students and teachers. It's all about hard work and creativity. He brings out the kindness in everyone. He's got the passion to teach, you hear it when he speaks. He knows how to build strong relationships. If you're seeking the best, the funkiest, he is it. He will empower you to improve. You'll be helping others and loving it too. He's Mr. Funky Teacher, yeah. He's Mr. Funky Teacher, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is Mr. Funky Teacher with BeAFunkyTeacher.com. I'm coming to you with another Mr. Funky Teacher Talk episode. What I want to talk to you about is being a teacher for life. That's right, this is all about thinking about how we can be a teacher for a lifetime. Not for our lifetime, but for our students' lifetime. That's the lifetime I'm talking about. It is true that sometimes we work with students for 1 year. Some of us work with students for 2 or 3 years. It just depends on what type of capacity we teach. But we think about students, they're with us for, a short, a short time, 1 year or 2 years or a couple, 2 or 3 years. It depends on what type of classroom we're in. And then they're gone. And then they move on, ideally. And then, are you still their teacher? I want to ask you that. Do you still consider yourself those students' teacher? Because I do. I consider the students that I taught nearly two decades ago, I can still consider them students, my students, students that I had the honor to teach, and that I will still consider them always Mr. Funky Teacher students. And when they're in a school, they're not just my students, they're our students. Looking at teaching partners I've had over the years, and when I look at working with, it's other teachers in the school, it's really all of our, they're our students. And so I don't want to ever just kind of lock it down and say, oh, these are just my students. They're not my students, they're our students. But I still consider myself their teacher for a lifetime. I really do. And I take great privilege and great pride and great joy in being a teacher for life for young people. I think that's important for me to have that type of mindset, that once you're a Mr. Funky Teacher student, you are always a Mr. Funky Teacher student. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter. I mean, you could have moved to another state. You could be with me for 1 day and you move away. You could move across the country and you're still a Mr. Funky Teacher student. And I will always be there for you as a Mr. Funky Teacher student. Do you have that mindset as a teacher yourself? Where once those students step foot in your classroom, or that you step foot in front of those students, if you don't have your own classroom, if you have an opportunity to teach students, are you their teacher for life? Even the tough ones? I am. It's very curious to me because yet also frustrating when you talk to teachers that are like, they just can't wait to get rid of kids. There are some teachers that can't wait to get rid of certain students, and I've never been that way. I have never been that way because the thing is, sometimes some of those tough kids need you the most. They do. Some of those tough students that have the hardest time or have the biggest academic needs or behavioral needs, they need us the most. And if I mean, just imagine if if there's just teachers that give up on their students or just say, you know, I just can't wait to pass them on. Imagine if you give that message to students. I work so hard to never send a message that I'm ready to get rid of a student. I never want to send that type of message to a student. That would be, if I was a student, and whether I was a troublemaker, if I was someone who gets more into trouble or has struggles academically, I mean, kids can pick up on that. I could pick up on that if there was a teacher or teachers that just wanted me gone. And what would inspire me to try or to hope or to be better if they just want to get rid of me? I would probably be worse, behave worse, or make it a game to see how bad I can be. And so some of those tough kids need us the most. And we sometimes it takes a whole year to get through to them, or years to get through to them. Sometimes you plant seeds in their mind and heart that don't start growing for years later. There's been some students that I've worked with all year long, trying to help guide and to shape and to help them grow. And they have fought it all year long, and they've been sometimes frustrating students to work with. Very trying students sometimes. Sometimes I don't even think I get through to them. You know, and then here they'll show up in my classroom 5 or 6 years later and say what a difference I made in their lives. Or I'll get a letter from them saying how much I meant to them. Or they'll invite me to their high school graduation and they'll come up and tell me thank you for not giving up on me. You know, it takes, when you have a student who you did not give up on come up to you years later and shake your hand or throw their arms around you and say, thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for not quitting on me. Thank you for always believing in me, that I could be something, I could do something, and that I was valuable enough for you to always keep trying when I didn't want to try myself. When we have that type of thinking, and students can pick up on that type of thinking, it... And having a student come back and realize that and tell you that, I mean, it's fuel for your soul. It's fuel for your teaching soul, where you won't ever want to give up on a person again. You won't ever want to give up on a child again if you've given up on a child. I've never given up on a child. And I won't ever, as frustrating as sometimes it is, I will not give up on a child. I'll keep pushing. I'll keep trying. I'll keep being my best for them. You know, I'll read books. I've taken classes to figure out how to help certain students. It's just because that's the type of teacher I want to be. I'm there for them, and I need to figure out, if I'm going to be an effective teacher, how to meet their needs. And not all students are the same. Not all students are created equal, and parents send us the best they have. You know, it's not like they're holding back several copies of their child and they're sending us their worst copies. No. Parents send us the best they got. Sometimes parents are doing the best they can too with what they know, and we have to work with that. I work so hard on being a teacher for a lifetime for students. And so you might be saying, how do you even begin to do that, Nicholas? Two words: building relationships. I work extremely hard to build relationships with each one of my students that I'm entrusted to teach. I try to build relationships with them. I try to connect with them. I try to help each one of them. I try to figure out what each one of them needs. Has it always been perfect? No. Have I fallen short in building as good of relationships as I've wanted sometimes? Yeah. Because I'm human. I'm imperfect. But I always come back to, if I want to be an effective teacher, if I want to do well and be successful as an educator, then I need to come back to thinking about how I can best meet my students' needs. How I can best help them to be their best. But it starts with connecting with them. It starts with that I have to think about, there might be a reason why a student doesn't want to be in my classroom. Maybe every adult they've ever been around has let them down. Maybe every adult that they've encountered has hurt them in some way, and I'm just another adult who they view as an enemy or someone there who's going to hurt them or let them down or look down upon them. And, you know, so students, you know, I've talked before in a couple of podcasts. Well, I'm not a medical expert. You know, I'm not a psychologist. But we have to recognize that we have kids that come with us with trauma, you know, and you know, and while there are people who are trained to give counseling and to give therapy, working with kids, getting kids through trauma in their lives, there are so many kids that don't receive some specialized therapy. And even if they are, they still are having a hard time. And then some of them come into our classrooms and we have to work with them and we have to teach them. And so I would, you know, there's teachers and there's schools, there's principals, there's school districts, there's states and there's countries that are looking for a magic pill when it comes to teaching and education, when it comes to meeting students' needs or helping students be successful. And I would say two words: building relationships. I think that if we're not building relationships with students, if we think that we're just going to dive right into teaching academics and that we are the teacher, we're there to teach academics and they are there to learn and whatever, you know, and if they don't learn, tough hooey and good luck to you. If we have that type of thinking or that type of mentality, then we're going to spin our wheels, you know, as educators. We're not going to get any traction getting anywhere with students. Students might muddle through. Students will, you know, we'll have some students that survive and some students that won't. But if we're not really trying to connect with them, we're really not focused on helping them to thrive. And there are some students that will be successful in classrooms in spite of their teachers. You know, surely I've had a lot of really good educators over the years, but there's a couple that I had that I learned in spite of their teachers. And it's not that they were about connecting with me or building relationships with me. You know, and you know, I guess, you know, I have to also think about too, there's some people, you know, who, you know, we talk about trauma. There's some people who have tried, you know, who have hurt kids too, and that can mess with kids too, who they've trusted, who they've had relationships with, and they've hurt them in some way. And then we're trying to get them to trust us, you know? And I would, you know, I think of myself as an educator, I would never hurt a child. I would never do anything to hurt a child. I just want to help young people. I do, you know, but sometimes getting them to see that is a process. It's a journey. And it's where you have to sometimes take it slow. Sometimes there's some students you can take it faster, and they'll see that you're there to help them be successful, and they'll trust you faster. There's some adults who are quicker to trust, and there are some adults that are not as fast to trust. I have to take each student where they're at and build relationships with them. And, you know, there's sometimes I think that I've had different high up education people in the world of education who like to talk about, it's as teachers, we're just there to teach academics and there's leave building or leave the social emotional stuff to counselors or therapists or to parents. And boy, think about if teachers did that. Think about if teachers left the social emotional up to everyone else and didn't. Think about if educators did not bring any social emotional in. And all they did was they came in and they just pushed academics out hard. Think about the success of students or the lack thereof. I'll stand here right now and say that I think that there'd be a lot fewer successful students out there when it comes to classrooms. Because students won't learn from someone they don't trust, or someone they don't trust, or someone they don't think cares about them. I'll go back to my one job interview that I did years ago. I did a job interview years and years ago, and the question that was asked of me was, do you want, as an educator, do you want students to like you or respect you? And I said to that question, I want them to like me and respect me. And in order to do that, I need to like and respect both I need to like my students and I need to respect my students. It can't just be where I just demand respect from my students. I can't just demand respect and think they're gonna give it to me. If that's the type of mentality I'm gonna take, then that's a wrong mentality to have. You know, because you're gonna be a joke to students. They might sit there and might not say anything disrespectful to your face, but they're going to be certainly talking smack about you behind your back. It's not truly creating a family feel if you're demanding respect. And so how do I get students, and there are things that I do that sometimes students don't like. But I still show them that I like them, but there's still consequences for behavior, even though I like them. And so, and just like my own children, I work with my students. I send the message, I want my students to always know that I love them, or my children to know, I think of my children, I want them to know that I love them and that I will always love them. But there are consequences for their actions. And so I hold them accountable. And that's a loving thing to do. Just like my students. I love the students that I teach, in a teacher-student type of a way. In a professional teacher-student type of way, I still care so much about them. I don't know how we work so closely over the course of the year, how I just build that connection with them over the course of the year. And I love those students, and I will do whatever I can to help them be successful. But I hold them accountable too. And that's a loving and caring thing to do too. You know, there's consequences for our actions, but I think we can deliver consequences in a way that doesn't destroy relationships. You know, and so when we deliver consequences, we have to be cognitive of not destroying relationships. When we work with students, we want to always keep in mind of, you know, sometimes people think that you can't upset students. If students are upset, then that's going to destroy their relationship, and that's wrong. That's wrong thinking. Students can be upset, you know, but a lot of times if I deliver it in a calm, respectful way without anger, then they're more mad at themselves. If I'm a yelling teacher, if I'm a yelling, ranting and raving yelling teacher that I scream and yell at students and I scold them and yell at them and I talk with them with anger in a yelling type of a way, then they're going to be, their anger is going to be directed towards me. And then that will be relationship destroying. And that's sometimes hard to get back when you do that. And so we have to think about everything we do and how do we nurture those relationships with students. I don't care. I tell my students that once they're a Mr. Cleave student, they're always a Mr. Funky teacher. Once they're a Mr. Funky teacher student, they are always a Mr. Funky teacher student. And I just, when my students walk out of my classroom for the very last time, most of them are sobbing and they're crying, and it's a very emotional time. And I think it's just because I pour so much effort into building those relationships and building those connections and creating a safe environment where they can cry, they can be emotional, they can, and just knowing that that's changing, it's not going away, but it's changing as they move on and move to the next chapter of their life and to the next grade and they go on to other things, that can be emotional, and that's okay. Emotions, you know, emotions are a part of life. I don't care if those students are with me currently, or if those students are, you know, if those students are 80 years old, and I'm 110, I'm 115 years old, sitting in a nursing room somewhere, or you know, or just sitting on a stoop somewhere, you know, just sitting in a rocking chair, reading a book, or talking to myself, or whatever it is, you know, it's whatever I'm doing, or heck, maybe I'll be in some barn building a homemade airplane and at 100 years old and think I'm going to go out and fly it in a field. And those students come to me, they're still my students. I still am their teacher. I will always be their teacher. And I tell every student I teach that I'll always be their teacher, and they can always come find me, and I will always believe in them. I will always encourage them. I also tell them too, though, that if they're, you know, if they're acting a fool, if they're sliding off path, that I'll tell them that they need to shape up and get back on track. And I have had students who have come to me who, you know, I've had students who have come to me that have told me different things that they've gotten caught up in. And they don't know how to get out of it. Could you imagine if students come to you and tell you that they're caught up in some bad stuff, whether it be gangs or drugs or alcohol or huffing or there's so many things that kids can get caught up in and make bad choices on. You know, and there's been times I've had to reach out, and I've had to, and they come to me because they feel safe talking to me. They say, "I don't know what to do, Mr. Cleave." If, you know, I've had students come to me and say, "I don't know what to do," you know, and so then I have to, they trust me enough to guide them to say, "You know what? you know, we need to reach out to this person. We need to reach out to this guidance counselor, or we need to get your parents involved in this discussion. We need to get some other school officials, maybe a school administrator at the middle school or high school, or even the police involved in something. I mean, we you know, if we get into that situation, we have to have those tough conversations. And sometimes students come to us and want guidance from us because they don't know what to do. And, you know, it's we have to just kind of trust that we have to trust the relationships that we've built with students. And when we've built relationships with students, that sometimes comes with students coming to us with tough things. Just like I think of my own children. I building relationships with my children, and my children know that they can always come to me with anything, and we'll figure it out. You know, there might be consequences, but we'll figure it out. And I'll support them, you know, even if that comes with some tough consequences that they have to deal with. There's been some stuff that students have come to me, some stuff that will scare me to death, and but I gotta not fall apart on them, and I gotta be there to direct them to to get some other helpers. Because I always say, if something's bad is happening, look for the helpers. I say that to students. And so I have to be there for them to help point them to the directors, because I'm or to the helpers, because I'm not always the best helper in a sometimes a serious situation. But I also have students come back to me and write me, once again, they write me letters, or they invite me to their graduation, or send me letters from college telling me they're in medical school, or they finished college, or they finished high school, and that I'm not trying to be their favorite teacher, but I'm trying to be a teacher that is impactful. And I've had many students tell me that I'm their favorite teacher, but that's not what it's about for me. It's about trying to make an impact in their lives and make a difference in their lives. And as long as I can do that, I don't care if I'm their favorite teacher or not. If I happen to be, you know, that's a nice sentiment that they might tell me, but I just want to be impactful. And so we have to look at relationships, and I want to encourage you, don't be a teacher for your students now. I hope you'll think about being being those students' teacher for a lifetime. And if we have that mentality, if we think about it in terms of building relationships, building connections, and knowing that not that we're stuck with them forever, but we have the honor of being their teacher forever. I mean, that's a beautiful way to view things. That's a beautiful way of viewing our legacy as an educator, as educators who are here to impact young people and to change the world for the better. It's such a beautiful way of viewing it. So, if you found value in this episode, I'd love for you to share it out, especially if you're checking this out on video. Now, if you're checking it out on audio, I'd love for you to go over to Apple Podcast and give a rating and review to it. And I want you to go out into your day, be a teacher for all of your students for a lifetime. Change the world. Make the world a better place. Enjoy every minute of it. Make the most of every minute of it, because it is an honor and a privilege and a blessing that we get to do what we do, working with young people and giving them a better start. And so take that and go into your day and be a funky teacher. Bye now.